Kim, don't worry.
Start with the Torahway, Northwest London, Wednesday, 16th of 7, 15th of June, Rabbi Eli Pikschlieter, Kovod Vamalchus. This week's Torahway has been sponsored by family Sanger in honor of the bar mitzvah of their son, Eli Sanger Neri Yoah, whose mitzvah was last Shabbos, Parshas Noso. Yerotan Shisku, Horov was Kenov Rav Nacha, Semenu Mikol Yotzei Chalotzeihem.
Yeshus. We have here a wonderful Kila Kilas Oil Moshe. If you walk into here on a Shabbos morning, you will not hear a prayer for the royal family. If you go into some big shuls, you go to the Hendon Adas, you go into Monks, you go into all the United Synagogues, you'll hear a prayer, Hanosin Teshur Lam Lochim, or He who giveth salvation unto kings. And we say a prayer for Her Majesty the Queen. We're just getting out from the Platinum Jubilee. And we know how important it is to give Kovod Lamalchus. Lamalchus. And therefore, why is it that this prayer is omitted in so many shuls, the Shtiblech, certainly amongst the Hasidim, I don't think in Reb Chunas it said. Why isn't this prayer said for the royal family when it says quite clearly in Pekei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Beis, Hevem Yispalo B'Shalom Shel Malchus? Why is it omitted? After all, you might say, well, do we really have to? The Goyim themselves don't say the prayer in their churches. Why should we say it? And besides, we're all very eager to pay our taxes in any case, aren't we? So why do we have to say this prayer for Her Majesty the Queen? If maybe I'm a Republican, maybe I don't believe in the monarchy. But still, you might argue, we want to have peace in the country, irrespective of how it's governed. In the United States of America, there's no monarchy, and they say the prayer there for the president and for his government. So why is it omitted by so many communities? Well, you might say, well, maybe you want a shorter service on Shabbos morning, you're getting hungry, you want your kigel, you want your chulot, but it doesn't take very long. So what is the source, then, for this whole idea of saying a prayer for the Malchus? We're not dealing with the idea of saying a brocha when you see the Queen, because that was discussed here a couple of weeks ago by Rav Golka, and we're concentrating there just on this idea of Kovod Lamalchus for the saying the prayer for the royal family. Do we have to, or don't we have to? There are a number of sources which tell us how we have to have Kovod Lamalchus. When Yosef HaTzadik was summoned to see Paro, who had his dreams, he had to have a haircut. It says it was on Rosh Hashanah, and Rashi says, Mipnei Kovod Malchus, he had his haircut on Rosh Hashanah. And when he speaks to Paro, he says, Elokim Ya'aneh Es Shalom Paro. And so the Medrash Lekach Tov says, Mikant Shitzoich Odom Nispalo B'Shlomish Al Malchus. That is already a source to show that one davens for the Malchus. And as we quoted from Pekei Avos, and there the reason is given in Pekei Avos, Shil Mole Moro Ish Esrei Ehu Chai Velo. Because if you wouldn't have a prayer for the Malchus and for the welfare of the realm in which you live, there's going to be anarchy. Everybody will go crazy and killing each other. So you need some sort of law and order. And therefore you say this prayer for the Malchus. And that's one reason which is given, the reason given in the Mishnah. There are other reasons given as well. In the Sefer Som Derech of Rav Simcha Sissel Brody, who was the Mashkiach of Hebron, he lists a number of reasons why we should be saying the prayer for the Malchus and show Kovod Lamalchus. First of all, he says it's Derech Eretz. For the country in which you live, you have to show respect. You show respect for authority. And then he says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts somebody, such as the queen or a king, in that position, and Hashem is giving them that kovod, then automatically we have to give such a person kovod. Because if that is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the queen is reigning over the United Kingdom, then automatically, because that's the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to show kovod to the queen of the United Kingdom. And then he says another idea, and that's this. He says, when you show kovod la malchus, you get the idea of what malchus really is. And in order to understand what malchus really is, it will lead you to recognize the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you go and watch the trooping of the colour, or if you watch the changing of the guard, irrespective of whether you think it's a worthwhile outing or not, but the mere fact that you go, he says, is something which shows kovod la malchus, and By showing covered the mouth, you're showing covered for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you're getting a taste. You're getting a taste of what respect for monarchy is. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the greatest monarchy of all. So if you show respect for that, then all the more so you're going to show respect for the monarchy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even if the monarch is somebody who's an evil king or queen, what if they are bad and they're not nice to the Jewish people? Do you still say a prayer for them? Do we not know in the story of Eliyahu Hanavi that there was the wicked King Achav, and you couldn't have got a worse king in concept of evil than King Achav? And Eliyahu Hanavi stood in front of his possession and ran in front of it just in order to give him covered. He made Eliyahu's life miserable, but nevertheless, Eliyahu Hanavi showed him covered. And at the time when the Nazi party came to power in 1933, the question was already being asked: do we say this prayer for the Malthus, for the Kaiser of Germany, or for the Nazi party which succeeded the Kaiser? And some communities in Germany carried on and some didn't. After Kristallnacht, the pogrom of 1938, all the communities in Germany stopped saying the prayer. But that is something to be reckoned with. In the year 1898, Rav Chaim Sonnenfeld, the Rav in Yerushalayim, was being approached about the fact that the Kaiser of Germany was visiting Jerusalem. He came in a glorious entourage with white horses, and everybody was coming out to greet him and to say the bracha when they see him. And they said to Reb Chaim Sonnenfeld, "No, we have to go out to greet the Kaiser." And he said, "No, I'm not going out." He said, "Why not?" He said, "Because Germany is a Molech." He said this in 1898. That's just 30 years before anyone realized what was going to happen with the Second World War and the Nazis coming to power. So that was the issue, but there is a safer Seder Yaakov in Yud Ches says, Ein ze tefilo letzevas hamalchus. In the actual fact, when you're saying the prayer for the royal family, you're not really saying it for the Malchus. Elo tefilo letzevas Yisrael. We're saying it for ourselves. Because if you look at the Nusach, and there is a very old Nusach, we say, Yitem b'libo v'lev kol yasov, sov rachmanos lasos tovim onu v'im Yisrael. We want rachmanos on us. We want to be treated nicely. So let's have a look for a moment at this Nusach, or the oldest Nusach, which is known. And those in Shur Lamnochim is reproduced in the Siddur Avodas Yisrael, commonly known as the Bear Siddur. And there is a very old Nusach, which is coined in most parts by the GGBH. Although most English shuls, the United Synagogue, have a more modified version. And there it says, Anosin Shulam Nochim M Sholon Asichim, Machusa Machus Kalalim, Hapotseus David Avdo Mecherev Ro. This is taken from a Pasuk in Tehillim Kuf Mem Dalud, that one should be saved and released from any evil sword. And then it says, Hanosin Bayon Derech Uvamayim Azim Nasivo. This is a Pasuk from Yeshayah in Mem Beis Tesai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he can even, this is an allusion to Kriyas Yamsu, Hashem can split the sea and make the water go in all directions. So the Tsar of Russia once called in a rabbi called Rav Yitzchok of Volozhin, and he said, "My servants have been visiting your synagogues and they found out that you're saying a prayer for me, which is all very nice, but then I did some further research and I discovered that in Germany they're saying the same prayer for the Kaiser. And I hate the Kaiser. So is there not some sort of contradiction here?" And in fact, the Machzis HaShekel writes that there is some sort of contradiction, because there is a phrase there that our enemies shall fall. So if Germany is the enemy of Russia, then you're praying for Germany to fall. But if Germany is saying the same prayer about their enemies of Germany, then they want the Tsar to fall. So what point is there in this prayer, which you Jews are saying in the synagogues for my welfare, when you're saying it for the Kaiser as well? Surely it's a contradiction. To which Rav Yitzchok of Volozhin answered, he said, this posuk, which is chosen in our Nusach, of Hanosim Bayom Derech Uvamayim Azim Nasivo, is just one of the great wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are many wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu which we could talk about. But why do we dafka speak about this particular issue? He said, because when you've got sailors on a yacht in the east and they want to travel to the west, they're relying on the wind, which will blow them from the east to the west. And when you've got sailors in the west who want to travel east, they're relying on the wind to blow them from the west to the east. So there's a contradiction here. But really, there isn't. They both managed to set sail. The east sailors travel to the west, and the west ones travel to the east. But for each one, that is their priority. So for us, our priority is the Tsar. We're not interested in the Kaiser of Germany. Our priority is the Tsar of Russia, and therefore the Tsar was satisfied. Well, the Machtis HaShekel then says that one should really drop that phrase about our enemies will fall, because otherwise one of the countries will be nullifying their prayer against because of the other. It's a very old practice. It says the Sefer Nefesh Chaya of Reuven Margolius in Siman Resh Pei Dalet, the practice of saying a prayer for the royal family is so old that it's even alluded to in Megillas Esther. When Haman accuses the Jewish people in front of Achashverosh, he twists the facts. And he says, they mention you, Achashverosh, they mention you in their prayers, and they're cursing you. He twisted the facts to make it out to Achashverosh as though we are not blessing the king, but we are cursing the king. And the gullible King Achashverosh took that as being the truth.
Where's that in the Megillah?
It's in the Targum Sheni on the Megillah. So the Targum Sheni says this, that Haman said that we are cursing him. And in the Sefer Ovos Olam of Rav Binyamin Vital, there on Perkei Ovos Perek Vov, in Mishnah Vov, he talks about Vikson and Seresh in Megillas Esther. That why did Mordechai feel compelled to go to the king to report that Achashverosh, who was a hater of the Jews, why did he feel compelled to go to report it to Achashverosh? Because we have to pray for the Shalom of Malchus, and we have to show Kovod of Malchus. And if Achashverosh would have been killed, who would have blamed gone on to? The new Queen Esther. So it was to save Esther's skin that he was going to report this. So is this prayer for the royal family a din? Is it a minag? Is it a practice? What is the status of it if so many shuls seem to be missing it out? Certainly you'll say it's a minag or olam, but minag is a very strong thing. Even Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias is called by the Gemara minag avoseinu biyodeinu. So is it a minag or isn't it? Is it a din or isn't it? The Aruch HaShulchan in Reish Pei Vov seems to alludes to the concept of minag by saying nehegu. Nehegu lomei av yukum purkon, umishe beirach for the keela, uvroch al hamelech. All those three he puts together. So you might say, oh, he's regarding it as a custom, just like we say yukum purkon, and we say umishe beirach, so we're saying a prayer for the king. But this word nehegu does not really mean minag. If you look in the Stei Chemed, in the Klalei HaPoskim, he says the word nehegu is a very strong concept which is treated like din. Because you've got different expressions, especially in the Ramah, Nagin, Yeshlimhom, and Nehegu is the strongest one of all. In the Machzis HaShekel, he says, Minhogon Shel Yisroel, Kol Kohol, B'chol Shabbos. Every congregation, every Shabbos, should be saying a prayer for the Malchus. So Minhogom Shel Yisrael, it does infer Minag rather than Din. But again, Minag Yisrael Torah, so do we just dismiss it as something which is just a simple custom? And if we look at the Shalos of Shuvas Michtov Sofer, that's the Abbe Din of Kharkov, there was a son of the Chasim Sofer, he says, Chayev Oisonu, we are Chayev, we are duty bound. Chayev Oisonu, Rabbeinu HaKadoshim, Habe Mispala B'Shlomo Shel Malchus. You have to daven for the welfare of the kingdom, and he brings it from the Meiri on Avodah Zarah, Daf Dalad Amud Aleph, and there it says, Chayev Odom Lispalo B'Shlomo Shel Malchus. So it's not just Minag. Chayev means a very clear-cut duty. And the Seder Hayom on the Kriyas HaTorah, he goes even further. He says, Mitzvahs Asei Midivrei Kabbalah. It's an actual mitzvah to say a prayer for the Malchus. So how do we understand this if people are not saying this prayer, which we're chayav to say? I'm not canvassing for membership of Monk Shul or Hendon Adas, but what's wrong? what's wrong with omitting it?
It's even more odd because 90% of the tefillah is asking for our welfare. She should deal kindly and truly with all Israel. Put wisdom into her heart. It's all for our benefit, not for her.
I did hear B'Shem Reb Chaim Halpern Zatzal,
yeah,
that the reason why the shul was not saying the prayer for the Malchus was because it's in the Simch Shalom. Sim Shalom Tova Brach Hashem Rachim Olenu. But then it says Olenu Al Kol Yisrael Amecha. So I've still got this question. It's really, as you say, yes, it's for the Tovas Yisrael. But if we want to display to the non-Jewish population of the world how we appreciate the country we live in, that we got a Hakara Satov, that we were able to flee from persecution, would it not be Derech Eretz to make some sort of prayer for the Malchus as well? But Sim Shalom is one of the answers I heard. The Sefer Seder Yaakov, in Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Dalet, says, look, if it would have been really a full chiyuv, then it would have been included by the Anshei Knesset Agdola in the Brachos and in the Nusach of the Tefillah and referred to in Gemara Brachos. Right? But it's not referred to in Brachos. It's referred to in Perkei Avos, and Perkei Avos is more like a Musa Sefer. Perkei Avos doesn't really spell out chiyuvim so much, but hanhoga, to do what is right, is perhaps the right expression.
Is Avarachamim mentioned?
Doesn't say Avarachamim in this list, no. But it's not in the Rambam, it's not in the Shulchan Aruch, and there's no set text defined in the Halachos Sforim. The Abu Dram writes very strongly. He goes through the routine of the Shabbos morning davening, and after the Haftar he says, V'achakach mevoreches ha-melech, and afterwards we bless the king. And not only does he say this regarding Shabbos, if you look at his weekday davening, there he says, for Mondays and Thursdays, when you're holding the Sefer Torah, because there's this big spiel about holding the Sefer Torah while you're saying the prayer for the Malchus, he says, V'negu nevoreches ha-melech, and this is for Mondays and Thursdays. So Abu Dram is perhaps one of the most reliable sources for the way we conduct our tefillah. And it's interesting because here in England, in the year 1663, on the 13th of October 1663, which coincided with Simchas Torah, Samuel Pepys, the famous diary writer, recorded that he visited a shul in London. It must have been Crete Church Lane, because I think that was the only shul then. That was the Sephardim, the forerunner of the Bevis Mark Synagogue, because the famous Duke's Place Synagogue wasn't built till 1690. So he went into a shul and he observed the service. He said it was a bit rowdy. When it was Simchas Torah, he thought every day was like that. But he said he heard them saying a prayer for King Charles II. So there you have a source for it. Amongst all our Marmakomas, we've got Samuel Pepys' diary. And we hold the Sefer Torah to demonstrate the covet for our Malchus when we gather on Shabbos and people are all together. And this is something which is brought from already the Shalos Teshuvos of the Ksav Sofer, who said there was always a minhag to carry a Sefer Torah when you greet the king of the country in which you live. And the Shiloh was asked the Ksav Sofer about whether we may go out and greet the king who was coming in a procession past our shul on Shabbos Shecholios B'Yom HaKippurim. On Shabbos Yom Kippur, are we allowed to take out the Sefer Torah in the street? Isn't it carrying in a public place? And it's an amazing psak because he says, since it's a karmelis and it's not a Rosh Hashanah Rabin Daraisa, so it's a Din Darabonon. That was in the particular pound town of Poland, a small town of, I think it was Warsaw he spoke about, that it's a karmelis and it's not a Rosh Hashanah Rabin Daraisa, and therefore we may override the Din Darabonon in order to give kavod l'malchus. And he brought this from a Gemara in Brachos, which talks about Kohanim who are allowed to jump over coffins. Medalgin, the word is used. The Kohanim were told they're allowed to jump over coffins when they come to greet the king who was coming past. Even though the Kohanim may not be become Tomei Meis, but since the jumping over coffins, which are covenants, the Din Darabonon, we may override that Din Darabonon in order that they may go and greet the king. And in Spain, it was a very common practice to come out with a Sifrei Torah when the king came past. And there's a story about a town called Zaragoza, where in 1491, there was due to be a procession of the king coming through the town. Now in Zaragoza, they were a little bit balabatish, because they had these rather heavy Sifrei Torah. You know what the Sephardi Sifrei Torah looked like, with the encasement around them, all round, and the scroll, the cloth is inside, and they just open it up to read it and close it up. And they decided for a while, you know, they're a bit heavy, these Sifrei Torah, to schlep them out in the street when the king comes along. So why don't we just take out the cloth and have our procession without the cloth? We just hold the cases, and that should be good enough. And anyway, there was this Jew hater there who was a Geshmati Yid called Marcus. And he thought he's going to stir up trouble. So he went to the king and he said, "You think the Jews are so covetous towards you that they give you all this honor? You won't believe this, but when they come out with their scrolls are not really in those cases. They're just carrying the outer cases. They're mocking you. They're having a good laugh." So the king got rather incensed and he said, "If that's really true, I'm going to check this out. I want you, Marcus, to sit next to me when I go on the procession." The king came on the procession. And there were 12 shuls, and from each shul there were 3 Sifrei Torah. And they all came out to greet their king, holding these cases of the Sifrei Torah. You can imagine how frightened these Jewish people were holding the Sifrei Torah when the king came past and said to Marcus, "Right, go and say by instruction of the king, I want those opened." The Yidden who were holding these were shivering, petrified. But what they didn't know was that the night before, the Shamus of every single one of those 12 shuls had a dream of Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi appeared to each one of those Shamosim of the shuls and said, "You have to go to the shul now and make sure the cloth is put inside the casing of the Sifrei Torah to greet the king. The cloth has to be inside." And each one of those 12 Shamosim ran to the shul in the middle of the night and put the cloths inside. And so when the king saw them being opened, the cloths were inside. And he put this Marcus fellow to death. And he said to the Jews, "Because you show me such loyalty, you don't have to pay me any tax for the next 3 years. So that was a very good deal.
1491.
And every year, there is, in fact, now in the Luach Dovah Be'ito, if you turn to the 17th of Shavat, which was when the Nes happened, on the 17th of Shavat, there is a Megillah which they wrote, which is in the same style as Megillas Esther, which is read as a recognition of the Nes, which happened on the 17th of Shavat in Saragossa, Spain. And so the relationship between the community and kings and queens has often been very, very good, Baruch Hashem. And Rav Chaim Elozer Shapira, who the Munkat Sherebbe, was once being greeted by crowds in Hungary at a train station. And on that train was Queen Wilhelmina of Holland. And she saw these crowds and she said, "What's going on?" They said, "Oh, we're going to greet a very famous rabbi." She said, "I want to see this rabbi. I want to meet him." And it was arranged that they meet privately with their translators, their interpreters, in a local park, out of the public eye. And she said, "Rabbi, you have to help me. I'm still childless, and I've got no chance of continuing the Dutch monarchy. I need to have a child. Please give me a blessing." And the Munkat Sherebbe, Rav Chaim Elozer Shapira, said, "Your Majesty, I give you a bracha that you will have a child within the next year, and the Malchus of the Dutch monarchy will carry on until Mashiach comes and beyond." And 1 year later, Princess Beatrice was born, and she eventually became the queen, and she abdicated, and now there's a ganze mishpacha in the Dutch royal family that they got plenty of people. And there was a good relationship between Queen Victoria and Sir Moses Montefiore. Sir Moses Montefiore was once travelling in Germany to Hanover, where the queen was having a holiday. And he was well known in the courts there, and he was chatting with them. And they told him about a crisis the queen had because she was getting contractions to give birth. And she didn't want to give birth to a child on foreign territory. Otherwise, this child can't be the future king or queen. The whole monarchy would be threatened for the United Kingdom. So Sir Moses Montefiore said, "I'll go and ask a question to the rabbi." And he went into shul every morning where Rav Nosson Adler was the Rav in Hanover and said to him, "What should the queen do? She doesn't know how to continue the monarchy." So Rav Nosson Adler said to him, "It's quite simple. Tell Her Majesty to go offshore into a boat, into international waters, fly a British flag on the boat and let her give birth there, and then you'll be all right." And that was the advice given. There are some who challenge the veracity of this story, but it was reported in Yativ Neman, which must be a very good source. And Queen Victoria, Queen Victoria put a good word in for him afterwards when they were discussing who should be the chief rabbi. And he became the rabbi of Duke's Place 3 years later in December 1844 against a number of other contestants, including Rav Shimshon and Rafael Hirsch. And then she gave the suggestion of, well, he shouldn't just be the rabbi of Duke Place, he shouldn't just be the chief rabbi of the United Kingdom, he should be the chief rabbi of the British Empire. And that is why now the chief rabbi is called the chief rabbi of the Commonwealth. And coming back to the story of Queen Wilhelmina, there was some years later, after the Holocaust, a fellow called Rav Yaakov Katz, who was trying to get a visa into Holland, and he couldn't get in. And so he wrote a personal letter to Queen, to the Queen, saying to her, you may remember this event I had with the Munkacher Rebbe. I was the interpreter. I was the one who was there. And I beg you, if you could give me a visa. And quickly and straight away, she sent a visa to this man. So why is it that the shuls are omitting this prayer for the royal family? Why is it that we are neglectful, if we are neglectful, in not saying prayer for the Shon of the Malchus when it's so clear-cut, brought down, if it's not firm halacha, it's minag Yisrael, and it's noagin or nehegu, why don't we say it? So the Shutz Michtav Sofer writes, he says, we say in the bracha of Olam al Shinim, we say that we should break our enemies. He says that is the bracha we call the Birkas Haminim. He says Kaleles Shalom Malchus Shemaim v'Shalom Malchus Ba'aretz. And with that tefillah, we fulfill the basic requirement, because the actual Lucifer text was never actually given. So and when we ask this question, why do we omit the phrase? There's plenty of reason to say that we should not omit this tefillah. So maybe it's the big shuls we want to demonstrate, we want the goyim to know about it. We know that when Chief Rabbi Mervis visited the Queen some years ago, he gave her an artistic portrait of the text of the prayer which was said for the royal family in the United Synagogues. Shows loyalty. I know that when English Heritage visited a certain shul in Stamford Hill, Egerton Road Shul, to decide whether it should be listed, and they saw the plaque there for the royal family and for Queen Victoria, they swooned, they fainted, they thought this is something which is just so amazing and should be preserved. They don't get that in any of their churches. So there was no actual takona on the Nusach, even though it says one should pray. You could argue that it should be prayed in, said individually, that maybe Kol Yochid V'Yochid should say it. Any individual can say it. And we said the answer of Olam HaShinim, and we said the answer of Sim Shalom. So there you've got a few, but there's an important Minchas Elozel, where the Rav Chaim Elozel Shapira writes in Chelek Dalad, Simon Hay, of his Shuvas, he said, and he wrote this in the middle of the First World War, he said, we're now in the Ikvasud of Mashiach, we're davening for the Mashiach to come. And really, what we're praying for is the Geula. And that's the main thing. Certainly in the Nusach, in the Be'er Siddur, it says, Melech Malchei Amlochim, we say, B'yomov, we now say B'yomehel, U'b'yomenu Tivoshai Yudoyis V'Yisroel Yishkon Lovetach. So we're really davening for the Mashiach. We want to get out of this Golus. We don't want to be ruled by foreign powers. So our bottom line is, U'volot Tzion Goel. So that is our final prayer, and that is our real prayer. U'volot Tzion Goel, V'cheni Ratzon V'Nomar Amen.
Yeah. Saragossa
Estate.
Yeah. Yes. So they've got one year out of the three tax exemptions.